Let's open to our scriptures in Genesis 37. Reading from verses 3. Genesis 37, I'm reading from verses 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Somebody say hate. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Amen. Okay, zoom straight into Genesis 42. I want you to just take note of this verse of scripture that we have just read. Genesis 42. Verses 20. I feel the presence of the Lord. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we will not hear. Therefore, in this distress, come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, speak I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you will not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Verse number 23, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Verse 24, and he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. So I have titled my message based on verse 24. And he turned himself about from them and wept. So the title of my message, why did Joseph weep? That's the title of our message. Reading these verses of scripture, it shows that Joseph wept three times. In this scripture, in verse 45, also in Genesis 50. And all this was the fact that anytime he sees his brothers, he cries. Now, the verse 37 that I just read to you, you can just understand that when he was young and his father gave birth to him, because he's the 11th born, the last among the brethren, the father loved him, showed him great kindness. I mean, you know how last babies are in families. Last babies are always loved. But the brothers hated him. Hate is a very strong word. Hate, Keto. When somebody says he hates you, that's a very strong word. Because that hatred can even lead to him killing you. I know people who have killed the other out of hatred. Say, Pastor, preach. My schedules have been plenty today, but I'm just coming from a strong meeting. So they could not speak to him peaceably. Because Auntie Mary, they hated him. And it's amazing how blood brothers and sisters can develop hatred to one another. Say, Pastor, preach. So they could not speak to him peaceably. They could not relate to him nicely. They hated him to the extent that when the father sent provision to him, they arrested him and tore his clothing. In fact, the agenda was to kill him because of hatred. Let's kill him and let's see what becometh of his dream. I'm not going to the preacher that I preached sometime. I'm just laying my foundation. I'm going to another area altogether. I'm going to another area, so don't be scared at all. For the story of Joseph is so broad that you can take every portion and preach about it. Yeah. So because of the hatred for their younger brother, the agenda was to kill him. Then Ruby said, shed no blood. Nonsense. Let's not kill him. Then he balanced himself a little to go and just do some few runs. By the time he returned, they put him in the pit, and then some Ishmaelites were passing. They brought him out of the pit and sold him quickly for 30 pieces of silver. Say, Pastor, preach.
Pastor, preach.
And then the people who bought him from those boys, Ishmael, they took him afar off. It doesn't really matter where you are located, who is hating you, and who is bewitching you. When God places an agenda upon you, it shall come to pass. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Don't be worried about those who are afraid of you, office people who are trying to scheme against you. No. Once God has said it, he will bring it to pass. Whom am I talking to? Shout out, I'm the one. Don't be afraid of what man can do. When God has said something to you, he will bring it to pass. He is God, and he can take whatever it is to bring your dream to pass. The only problem is I don't trust people. And then when they took him to the slave market, he was bought by Pharaoh's servants. They examined, blah, 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 they bought him and took him to Pharaoh's house, and he did well. And then he was looking very nice, and some favor was upon him, and the wife was to have a relationship with him. Potiphar. Potiphar's wife. What did I say? So Potiphar's wife wants to have a relationship, and then he has to escape. Guys are always escaping. So easy for us. And then what was the word, Paul? No. What did they do to him? They try to pin the accusation on him and created the atmosphere as if he actually wanted to rape Potiphar's wife. So the case became serious, and he was sent to the prison where people are waiting execution. He was not sent to the normal prison. That house that they took him, you are ready to be executed. That is where the king prisoners are. They just take, there are several prisons. But when they take you there, it means your case is serious, Matt. It means you're on death row. It's called condemned prison. Say, Pastor, preach. Those of you at the back, say, Pastor, preach. So he was very devastated until his dream got him out of the situation. Then in the verse 40 that I just read, he had an encounter where his brothers came from a far country to look for food. But when he stood and saw his brothers, he identified them, but his brothers couldn't identify him. It's so amazing that a younger brother can identify. Is it not elder brother who must identify junior brothers? And he heard them spoke in the language of the Canaanites. And he understood the language and connected it and said, are these all my brothers? These are my brothers. And then I'm sure in the verse of scripture that I read, they started arguing. Now, when I was reading the commentary, the commentator was saying that was because one of them was trying to identify Joseph as, is this not our brother? That says that it looks like our brother. Then there was an argument. Do you know that when people become 79 and 80 and they die, they bring their younger version of their preacher around? Don't they look a little similar? So they are dead. Is it not? So the Bible talks about the fact that, and they said to one another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul. It means he was distressed, and we besought us, and we will not hear. Therefore, in this you shall come upon us. Go on that scripture again. Go. Go. Oh. So they saw a certain similarity. So they said, like, then Reuben said, I told you not to kill this boy. I told you, I warned you. And Reuben said, I told you not to touch this boy. So if he's really the one that we are seeing, that we are suspecting, that is the one, then we are in trouble. And as some are too here. So in those discussions, Joseph was speaking to them through an interpreter. So that he doesn't give himself away to be speaking the same language. Then he went off from away from them and wept and cried. The verse 45 said that when he saw his brothers, he cried so loud that Pharaoh heard him and the people of the Egypt also heard him. Ah! Yeah! Was so loud. Say, Pastor, preach. I'm coming with my preaching. You know. All this time I'm saying, I'm laying foundation. But I'm the baby. So, when he came back, he cried. And then when the father and their younger brother Benjamin came, he cried. When they put him in the pit and stripped off his clothing, he didn't cry. When they got him out of the pit, and showed him to the Ishmaelites, the Bible didn't record that he cried. When he went to the slave market in Egypt and they sold him to the Potiphar's servant, he didn't cry. When he went to Potiphar's house and the wife tried to sleep with him and they arrested him and put him in prison, he didn't cry. Then when they put him in prison, there was no record of anywhere in the scriptures that Joseph ever cried. But when he saw his brethren, he wept, cried. Sometimes there are some things that doesn't really make you cry. I was sharing the first service that when my father was about to die, I was in the hospital. I saw my dad on the stretcher, breathing. And then the doctor said, Reverend, I'm sorry,
Your father may not last for 24 hours. So, well, what can we do? There was breathing before me, breathing, and at a point, then he died. Then the doctor said, Reverend, your father is dead. I said, is that how people die? He died in front of me. Then they covered him. They whisked him to the mortuary. Then I left. I called Steve. Steve, our father is dead, though. He said, really? How did he die? I said, right in front of me. He was breathing, and then he died. Oh, no, that's what I told him. And then we went to Lashibi funeral home. They put the shoes and the suit that we bought for him nicely. Then they covered the casket temporarily. I brought him here at 6:30, 7 a.m. They brought him here. They opened halfway. People went around him. And then when they finished, they covered it, whisked him at the carport, pushed him in the vehicle. When the vehicle was leaving, I saw a few people crying. I didn't cry. When my father died, I didn't cry. When I brought him from Lashibi, I didn't cry. When they brought him to this church, I didn't cry. When you put him in the hearse, is that hearse? I didn't cry. I don't cry like that. My wife will tell you, I've been married for 34 years. Do I cry? I don't cry like that, though. It is not everything that people cry about. There are some things. Then I was at home one early morning. My elder brother called me. Stanley, I said, what is it? You don't call me like that. He said, there's trouble. I said, what is it? He said, her mother hasn't come out from the bedroom. I said, what time is it? He said, it's past 6. I said, she's dead. Then my brother said, what are you talking about? I said, mommy hasn't come out from the bedroom. She's dead. Then he said, maybe he's just tired and sleepy. I said, no, mommy, by 6, before 6, she's out. All my life, my mother, she's out. When it's past 6, she's not out. Then I called Steve. Steve, our mother is not out of the bedroom. I said, what's wrong with her? Then I told Steve, he's dead. She's dead. He said, don't say that. Because we just spoke yesterday. And it's truly, truly. The day before, Matt, wasn't the truth? She was calling everybody. She spoke to you, right? She spoke to you, spoke to me, spoke to all the children. That's what's happened to my mother that she's talking to everybody like that? Yes, but then by the next day, she was dead. And then Steve said, she also called me and spoke to me. I was like, why is she talking plenty like that? Then I told my elder brother, break the door. My mother is dead. Then they broke the door. When they broke the door, she was in a prayer poster, dead. We brought her to transition. The day of the burial, I went to the mortuary. I saw her dressed, put on wig for her, thorns, lipo. They dressed her face and things. I said, is everything okay? Cover it. We drove, brought her here. My mother is very close to us. Very taught us how to cook and things. I'm the closest of my mom because I was the kakra. And last borns are very special to their mom. Steve likes shouting. I'm quiet. Now I know why he's an evangelist. He was born with it. He likes shouting. So when we brought her here, they closed the casket. They whisk her here to the room. Then Steve said, you are the closest to our mother. Go and bury her and come. I'll stay with the brethren here. So I took her to the Gethsemane. I was there when they put her around. I didn't cry. I don't cry like that, though. I didn't cry. In fact, the night that she died, I slept for normal. I don't sit at night and no. I don't cry like that. But when I feel God's presence and I worship him and I feel his anointing, I'll cry no. So there are things that make you cry. There are some things that don't make you cry. All the distresses of Joseph, he didn't cry. But when he saw the brothers, when he saw his brothers, then he cried, wept the first time, then wept the second time, and wept the third time. Therefore, the second time, he cried aloud, and Pharaoh was like, what's going on with my prime minister? What's going on? Why is he crying like that? Nipadindin. For the first time. The reason is that his brothers, Mary, his family, and family, you should be loyal and good to family. But this one, they sold me. So I'm hurt and embittered, and I'm so surprised that family can sell their brother into slavery. What sort of family is that? And I want you to know, and one of the scriptures, Joseph asked them, where are you from? Then he said, we are all from the same father. Yes, find it and put it there. Said, you're from the same father. We are family. And I'm like, family, but they sold you. Every time that we come to church service and we are worshiping and we are praising God, it's because we are family. Wow. Am I preaching here? Wow. This whole environment is not a social gathering. It's a family. And we must get that. And family, you must behave towards me like a brother. Yes, sir. You don't betray family. You must feel comfortable coming to family. When we have an environment where you can't sit and feel comfortable, this is a problem with that environment. Oh, am I preaching here? Any church member who doesn't feel comfortable coming to church, then there's a problem with where you go. Because you must feel... am I preaching here? If church is not family, we are wasting our time. If coming here, worshiping, praising, singing, and we are not family, we are wasting our time. Our gathering here is unto nothing. You see the power of God moving, touching lives because they are together. And one of the reasons why Joseph wept, because he couldn't believe that his own family members can sell him. It means, what kind of spirit are you carrying? How are you people like? And we have members in church setting and they are bitter about the gathering. Oh yeah. Bitter. The first thing I was telling them that if you are embittered, then you are not in family. And if you are devastated by the attitude of another Christian, then both of you don't understand what family setting is. And I was sharing to them that, look, there are people in this church, they've sent people to school, they from JSS to SSS to what again? University to where again? Masters. They are finished and they don't even know where they live. There are people here. They take off. They don't even know their mother. But the fact that he sees the sister, he sees the brother, then his mind goes on the father. We are family. So we are church members. I can easily pay your fees. I've paid fees. My wife will tell you, we've paid fees. But we don't know where they even live. That is because when we come together, we are family. And we must have that revelation in our mind. Let's not come, gather and go. Come, gather and go. Come, gather and go. Why? It's a family setting. And where family has, they love. And where family gather, they cover nakedness. And where family are, they forgive. Oh, am I making sense to you? If you belong to a ministry or a department and you guys are fighting, then you have not understood the purpose of your department. There are certain tension that is mounted in church setting. It's about time those tension must crumble down. Because family don't behave like that. Family, I was saying in the first service that there are certain information, sweetheart. There are certain information that outsiders know that we don't know. Mm. Oh, am I preaching here? Yeah. Look, the outsider can tell you something, some things about CEM. It will shock you. Now, are you talking about CEM or another church? CEM. And how did they get such information? Members. The ones I call family. I've known Mary too far. Ah, Mary, I've known, how long have we known each other? I've known you. I've known this girl for
30 years.
30 years. I think I knew you before I saw Mata, right? Or 30 years. So have you known family?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do I know where you live?
No.
I don't know where you live. But I can bless you.
Yes.
I can take care of your visit in the hospital. Why? Because when we come together here, we are family. And we have to program our mind like that. Because if you don't, we end up having a church, but the church is divided. Joseph went through various devastating situations. He didn't cry. But when the brothers appeared, then I'm like, you guys are my brothers. But you had the right, you went ahead and showed me. I wonder what kind of people are you? There are family members who got and betrayed their fellow family member. And offenses are never forgiven. And there are people in our churches. You are quiet to me. There are church members who have left our churches because of offense. And if we are always being offended and we are leaving our church, then we are losing the family virtue. It is not coming to preach revelation, jumping, and go away. But you must understand that God has gathered you by the blood of Jesus. Same blood are running through our veins. Now, family members can hurt each other, but there is forgiveness. Now, family members, when they offend you, after a while, they easily say sorry, and they are restored back to family. What were you saying? Families are always together. Princess, Miyo Oboni, Adebechi, Ese Ujemu, because we are family. Ntokwa Obekite Musa, 6 years, Adawabodam. 6 years, Ujemu. It's post the family setting. Yes. And listen to me. So, what Bible do you read and what preachings do you hear? What Bible do you read and what kind of preachings do you hear? So, that as for you, you can come to church, you can worship God, but this area, don't go there. 6 years, and I've come to preach because of you.
Yeah.
That if your husband and wife and you are separated, Matt, because of children and family setting, we must move on. I must see you in town and say, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I remember our days and hakakra. But una asa ufa ukanum bono. I dream bonaba utimu. And there are sisters and brothers that are, they are not together anymore. There are people here in this age. We are pastors here. But you see, I don't want you to continue like that. As Christians, because we are a family. And listen to me. Do you know that family can offend each other? They go to family meetings and then they are offending each other. And they are someone, but you give them some tourists, they are calling each other. But is it not true? They said they are calling each other. So even natural families, they make up. But spiritual family people, now she has a gang against you. I was saying the first service that you see choristers on stage singing, but four don't talk. I'm on you. I'm here. So one is at the tenor side, and then one is at auto side, and they don't talk, but they are singing to us. What song are you singing? By the time you mount the stage, you must remember you are family. And I'm on Jesus. Christianity is not dressing and coming to church. Christianity is not dressing and coming to church. Wear your wig, wear your glasses, wear your lipo, eyelashes, eyebrow and things, wear your high heel. That's not Christianity. That one, unbelievers can even do it.
Yeah.
Unbelievers can. So you're sitting at where you are sitting. Doesn't mean that you're a Christian, but your practices, your relationship. My relationship, and the most difficult part of it is when I've offended you, but I can still have the name and the charisma to come and approach you and say, sorry, that is Christianity. Otherwise, guys, we are wasting our time here. The gathering here is a waste of time. I know it's a difficult one when you have your ex walk out on you, gone to court and things. But you see, that is where Christianity comes in. Like Revelation, no, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, 17. Somebody saying something. Recompense no man evil for evil. That's what the Bible says. No man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 18. If it's possible, as much as light in you, live peaceable with all men. It's a command. So the problem is that, Abi, you must live peaceable with all men. If you're in protocol and you can't talk to three girls in the protocol, your walking here is useless. You're walking here and wearing your dress here and you don't talk to a few of the girls in protocol, no? All this work is all useless. We as pastors, that is why me, I'm very careful how I relate to Reverend Steve. Reverend Steve is my twin brother. Yesterday, I was in a dinner meeting that was organized. In the dinner meeting, twins were the speakers of the dinner meeting concerning couples. And then one of the twins said something. He said, the difference between me and my twin brother is 5 minutes. Then I said, you are blessed. Me, my own is 2 minutes. And because of the position of my brother, I'm very careful how I relate to Reverend Steve. Because we are twins and just started together, as some of us started where I was when I was a house boy. But he's the leader.
He is my pastor. He is the general overseer. I have to accord him that respect. So I'm very careful, because there are certain privileges that he may earn. There are places that he will go. There are some invitations that he may get, I may not get. But he's my pastor. When he travels to abroad, then I become the general overseer. But when he comes home, he is the overseer. I'm his deputy. When we have a meeting and the meeting is very heated, Keto is there and he's heated and he's talking plenty, 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 plenty. When he goes, I said, don't make my brother angry. If he's shouting like that, I get agitated, because we are all married with children. Nobody should be shouting at me. So don't make my brother shout at me. That's what I tell him. Don't make my brother shout at me. And blasting the whole setting. We are all seated and he's blasting, everybody's blasting. Then I told myself, yeah, Lord, give me heart. He's shouting and screaming, what is this? Then I'm there on my phone. I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh. Because we grew up together. I don't see why you should be shouting at me. Me and you, we ate, we bath with our bolo showing and all that. Together. Why are you shouting at me? I can remember how we grew up. And then here you are, by virtue of position, you are sitting in front of us, and I'm sitting with the pastors, and you are screaming. And I say, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't ever think that Reverend Steve can stand anywhere and say, I've been disloyal to him, or I've ever disrespected him. Because you can hate a person and go down. So much, by the time that the brothers came, they were hungry. They have lost everything. They have traveled from Canaan to Egypt hungry. But Joseph, that they hated, has increased. But they, being sheep breeders, have gone down. Don't hate brothers. Because hatred will not bring you increase. Hatred, bitterness, sometimes it's a setup for you to run with hatred and bitterness, and you'll be going down. And the person on your right hand, she's increased, because she has released you from the spirit. Oh, am I preaching here? Every time we are working on the compound, then you see my twin brother talking about, we are doing this. But I know that what he's talking about, and I dare not oppose him. Reverend Steve will tell you, I never oppose him. When I go home, then I tell my wife, Steve is trying to tell her we should do this. But can we do this? We don't have money. Then she said, but why didn't you tell him? Oh, deputy, you don't oppose your senior man like that. You don't oppose him in front of junior pastors. You have to use wisdom. So I would like to go a kopima. Then I said, oh, that thing didn't work, eh? Oh. Meanwhile, I know that it will not work. I know that this thing will not work. I feel in my spirit that we should do this and that. Okay. And then, Stanley, as I'm traveling, ensure that it is done. I said, okay, no. Then you call one day. Have they started? I said, oh, yeah, they've started. I know it won't work. You don't stand and oppose your brother like that. Why? Because we are family. And then you don't leave church and broadcast people's story. I thought we're a family here. And why are you broadcasting our marriage issue? You know, you're a third party. You are not part of the marriage. You are just a friend to the woman or a friend to the man. You are broadcasting. And then when we come together, then, oh, Tanya, you're a liar. You're not a family member. because family members cover their nakedness. Oh, am I here? And they are the one who will be close to you. Take your turn. Take bear your turn. I don't take time your turn. But he's the one that is broadcasting your situation. Eh? Stay your turn. How are you? How many do you understand? Take your turn. Hello, 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 and I'm going to say, she's a liar. And the divorce has landed. You are separated from your husband. It doesn't mean that you should gang women against the man. It's not a family thing. You are seated here and your wife is seated there. But remember, you are family. The marriage didn't work, but we can work. See, you know, Deacon, the marriage didn't work, but what about me and you? So the fact that the marriage didn't work doesn't mean that we should be enemies. It's difficult though, but that is Christianity. And me dear, our enemy Jaya, only will be Jaya Makaho. In fact, Fahuka is my family. It's your family. Mejano Kraman and Kitredi and Jaya Makaho. And you see that maybe for the past next 6 years, no communication, but they come to the same church. Their hands are lifted. They are the altar. One is at the other altar, another one is at the other altar. What are you worshiping for? When we are coming to the altar, we can even hold hands. We have divorce, but we can hold hands. Okay. You know why you are not talking? You have separated. But I can hold your hands. It's called Christianity. And it's called family. So when we are coming, hey, let's go to the altar. Oh, it's nonsense. Let me just go. Let me go to another altar. Which God are you going to cry to? Which God are you going to cry to at the altar? Because the God that you cry to, the God is a loving God and is one. Oh, am I preaching here? And the devil has intentionally brought tension, separation. So our worship is like a muddy water. It's muddy. So I make sure that I don't create hatred for my senior pastor because I have platform to increase. That at the end of the day, because there's hatred between me and Steve, he's increasing and I'm crying. I'm not a fool. I honor him, respect him, and I see him travel. By the time he lands, I'm also gone. Because I celebrate him. Family celebrate success. I was telling the first service people that sometimes when they call, can we have Sister Joyce coming to stand here and then their husband? The moment they step out there, shalom. So when the sister come, hey, now where's where? Then they see the guy. Now where Obama? And church members have judged you and given you your report even before you stood here. By the time you are going there, they give you the report to you. But church is family. And you must celebrate success. When the sister park a car, hey! Who's over to car? They say, you don't deserve a car. And the car become news.
And somebody can decide not to talk to you because you have bought a car. Because in their eyes, you must remain poor. Be poor, sir. Who call him for? Who to be talker? But I've come. My message is simple. Remember that this setting of the church. One of the twins said something yesterday at the dinner that really have changed me. He said, when the prodigal son left the house, Keto, it's his son. When he was coming back, he ran and kissed him. But if we were to be one of the servants, you will not be eager to receive him. Because servant is not family. But because it's his son, he was ready to receive him. You must be ready to receive offenders. We must be ready to receive offenders in church. It's a difficult thing. Any church member who can't receive back somebody who have offended him, then your family setting is questionable. Because even as we are all here as a family, there are some lines you don't cross. Then he said, if it's one of the servants, the servant don't come by the but the son here is a fan, because when family offends you and they go away, they come back to family. When your daughter speaks rubbish to you and your daughter goes away, when he comes back, is it not part of the family? Yeah, it's received. Matt, I was sharing the testimony of Selassie when we're bringing her back from UK to Ghana, and we left the home, and I was telling them that she cried because she feels she's leaving friends and family and going back to Ghana. I said, Selassie, you are going back to where you were born. You are not a British citizen. Let's go back to Africa where you were born. Can you eat a payment and control? We are going back to Ghana. Because you are going back to your family. Princess, so when you see sisters who have offended you and they come back to you, embrace. That's the role of the resident pastor's wife. Should I go there?
As
a resident pastor's wife, no. People will offend you. Yeah. You see a fine lady with his hand around your husband's neck. It's normal. Hey. Hey. So, if you see the fine lady putting his hand, now unya pressure. Now, if you start having pressure, then you'll be having pressure every Sunday. Then you have big issue with one or two sisters in there, because anytime they are putting their hands around your husband's head. Meanwhile, it's an innocent one. A bit so discover. Mrs. Guy is sitting here. Anytime I need help, then I see a pet. Oh, my darling. When she hears my darling pet, it means a request is coming. We must make church sweet. Family environment. Loving together. You can't sit in church and then you are tensed up. You are tensed in church. Why are you tensed in church? Why are you tensed up in church? You don't even have friends in the church. I'm sorry for kasakasa. You see, your mindset. So that's why I'm preaching the message. That is not a social gathering. This is church. And church is family. Somebody took me to UK, bought a ticket for me, Do you know the purpose of the flying? I should come and talk about my relationship between myself and Pastor Steve. I said that you hear things. And I spoke for 3 days. And I had a room over $3,000. Because I said things. The things we've been through. The things that are happening. And one day we were in a crusade and I was outside on a phone call with my wife or somebody. And then they say, Reverend Stanley, come. I said, what is it? Your brother is talking about you. Come. What is it that he's talking about? My loyalty, my this. I said, oh, but it's nothing. This one is normal. I'm not stupid. I cannot be disloyal to him. Because if I am, my blessing will be hindered. So this is Kato. This is assistant resident pastor. The two of you, you are intelligent guys. You are smart people. But submit. You must work together so that the pulpit will release you. If you sit on this pulpit and it's a competitive pulpit, what did he preach? I'm coming with mine. Nonsense. And you hear word. It's not a competitive pulpit. Yeah. We are not here. Reverend Steve, you can preach in a certain way. I can. It's called submit, not compete. And then you don't also hate and oppress. You will go down. By the time Joseph and his brothers appear, they were tattered. And then the brothers couldn't make the younger brother out. Because the Lord has blessed him. Put that scripture on the screen where he has increased his father to Pharaoh, lords over the land. Put that scripture there. 45 somewhere. Genesis 45. And the church has declared a year of increase. You must let certain people go so you can increase. You are not there yet. Where the Bible talks about the father is the father to Pharaoh. It's the Lord of Lord. Of, I have it. I feel the anointing. I feel the love of God. And when God, Matt, when God sets you up to your destiny, it doesn't matter who are against you. Look, you are a resident pastor's wife. I said, move from here and come and sit here. Where you are sitting, it's your divine position. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Joseph Kato, Abraka Kato, that's your wife. We have big church. You are the resident pastor's wife. Ntunama. Osunama, I saw your protocol. So, you have said 3 protocols. You are the resident pastor of this big church. You must have protocol. And when church members see you, they must accord you that honor and respect. That is why people will be blessed in the church. But when people see you, they say, what's it like? Get to wife, Nini. Oh, yeah. You're quite a baby. You will never grow. Because there's hatred in your heart. There's jealousy in your spirit. Oh, am I preaching here? There are infightings that will not bring increase. And there are people who are too proud to say sorry. You are too proud to say sorry. It doesn't matter how old it is. That is your pathway for increase. For when Joseph's brethren hated him and they could not speak unto him peaceably, they went down. By the time they met their younger brother, he's up. And they were down. So if I were you, I'd tear my heart and submit that I may increase. Oh, am I preaching here? I pray that this message will find you. And this particular month, by December, something will shift.
Amen.
And that which belongs to you will come to you.
Amen.
I love you all.